The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Jesus said to them in reply, Go and tell John what you hear and what you see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out of the desert to see? A reed swaying in the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This one is about whom it is written, Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. And amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The Gospel of the Lord. We have two Sundays in which John the Baptist becomes a central figure in the gospel reading. We had last week an introduction of John the Baptist, who proclaims the coming of the Lord, and he points out, there is the Lamb of God, from chapter 3 in Matthew's gospel. It leads us to a much later section in Matthew's gospel, in today's text, where John is in prison and he sends a delegation to Jesus to ask him, Are you the one who is to come? He appears to have a crisis in his faith and wonders if the one he pointed out as the Lamb of God is truly the Messianic one. Now, the sequence in Matthew from chapter 3 to 11 is of special interest to us, since it teaches us why it is that John has this inquiry. Read along after chapter 3, and Jesus teaches extensively, including chapter 5, which is the Sermon on the Mount. Move along through this section of John, and in chapter 8, he has the healing of a leper. But it's more than just healing the leper. Jesus touches the leper, which renders him unclean. And then he heals the servant of the centurion, an outsider, a Roman. Remember, we have it in the Mass, Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. That's there in chapter 8 in Matthew. And then he goes on to say, the faith of this outsider, I have not found such faith anywhere in Israel. Now, John is hearing this. Then he calms the waters and he crosses the sea to pagan territory. And there he drives out some demons in the pagan territory. John is hearing all this. He raises a little girl from the dead. And all of these things come to, he cures Peter's mother-in-law. That probably didn't concern John the Baptist too much, but you know. It is not good scripture to believe that the reason that Peter denied Jesus is because he had cured his mother-in-law. That's not true. This is not accurate. But he does heal the mother-in-law of Simon Peter. That's all there in this section. And then we come to chapter 11 here, where John the Baptist appears to be in crisis. Joseph Heller, in his Catch 22, has this to say. He says, it is unnecessary and impossible to educate people who haven't asked questions. So John asking the question is open to growing. So John sends this delegation to ask. Now, Anthony DeMello says that change which is real is change which is not willed. This is true for many of us. I find this very helpful in my own reflections, that it's the unwelcome, unexpected moment in your life that disturbs you, that calls you to change. The divorce which you did not want, the ingratitude, the scars in your family which you try to avoid, the wounds in relationships which appear more obvious about this time of the year, the job you lost, the sickness, the death, these liminal defining moments which were not expected and were not welcome. These are the moments of change. Now, if Jesus had gotten a heart attack on the shores of the Sea of Galilee and he died from the heart attack, we would still have a resurrection, but our religion would be radically different. It's the suffering and the passion, it's the cross transformed into the resurrection. That's the mystery, and that's the miracle. The victim becoming victor. The one who suffers becoming the one who is free. The one who is peaceful becomes the victor. It's the transformation of a moment of crisis into a moment of new life. And therefore, it's not without good reason that the early Christians, they could have picked a symbol of the resurrection by way of identity, but they took the cross, because the cross was meaningful to them by way of an introduction to new life, to change, to resurrection. They could not experience the miracle of the resurrection unless they had first experienced the cross. Therefore, when we reflect on the inquiry of John the Baptist, why Jesus was healing the sick, curing the lepers, he gave two men who were blind, he gave them sight, a man who was mute, he gave him speech. John's hearing all this, and he's saying, this is not what I expected. Jesus forgiving and caring and not demanding, not overwhelming, not legalistic, it's not the Jesus I expected. And yet it's the Jesus to which we are all called. We had a funeral here on Friday. We had two funerals on Friday. The morning funeral was for a young boy who was 17. And when he was 2 years old, he was involved in a tragic accident. And it left him with severe brain damage, quadriplegic, for 15 years. Couldn't speak. He spoke through his eyes. And he spoke through feeling, through touch. They knew that. Well, I went to see that boy in the hospital just a week ago or so. And the mother, a single mother, was so grateful for prayer. She was so grateful to see the presence of the priest coming to pray with her. And now on Friday, I went back to the back of the church to greet her. And this single mother with a daughter who is 16 carried the ashes of her son with great dignity and with great faith up the center aisle of this church. And we were all in tears. She placed the ashes here, and we went through our funeral service. Now, it takes great faith to transform that into resurrection and life. But that's real. We see it every day in some way. It happens to us. Bernard Lonergan, the Jesuit Canadian theologian, reminds us in this manner. He says, the experience of authority which we have is formative. We've all been shaped in somehow by authority, authority of parents, the authority of the church, of some institution, the authority that came from being bullied when we were young, or whatever the authority was. The experience of authority, he said, is formative. But what is far more formative is the authority of experience. That's far more formative. Your failure, your struggle, your sin, the things you most regret in your life, the remorse of your life, the blessings of your life, the times of ecstasy, the times when you praise God and thank God, the experience, the authority of your experience is far more formative, and it's far more in the gospel. The gospel comes to life. For me, the gospel comes to life for you in the authority of your experience. It's the wonder of being human. It's the beauty and the grace of being human. That's where we experience the true God. The opportunities to forgive, to belong, to heal loneliness, to carry another person's burdens, to allow other people to love us, to accept the forgiveness, to accept the gifts of others without having to give something back. The wonder, the beauty of being human is such an enormous state of grace, not because we earned it, but because God made us this way, and made in humanity, made in the likeness of God. And therefore, in these moments of change, there are two possible outcomes. And this is the spiritual journey. One is that we remain angry, in self-pity, resentful, cynical. The other possibility is, by the grace of God, we allow these moments to transform us, to enrich us, to enlighten us, to allow us to understand the humanity of others, to allow us to share the troubles, the trials and the struggles and the fears of others. In one case, we may question God and even challenge God. In the other scenario, we begin to put into context, the context of our faith, the authority of our experience. For in our experience, we will change for better or for worse. Amen.